Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing, and I am pumped about today's episode. We've got some genuinely wild stories to dig into, from a home-built 8,000-core GPU made out of RISC-V microcontrollers to an AI agent that took a processor all the way to tape out, to some sobering security research that every RISC-V implementer needs to hear. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. All right, let's kick things off with some good hardware news, Spesemit. And if you haven't heard of them, they're one of the more interesting RISC-V silicon companies out of China. They've just launched the MusePi Pro. This is an octa-core RISC-V single-board computer, and it now has Armbian support. Let that sink in for a second, Armbian.
That's a full, mature, community-driven Linux distribution with a serious ecosystem behind it. This isn't some bare metal demo board with a custom SDK you have to fight with for 3 days. So what's the MusePi Pro actually packing? It's based on Spasmit's K1 processor, which is an octa-core RISC-V chip built around the X60 core. And that's a high-performance application class core with support for the RVV vector extension, which is the RISC-V vector instruction set, 8 cores vector compute. And now Armbian, that's a legitimately compelling package for developers who want to build real software on RISC-V silicon without dealing with a painful bring-up process. And this is actually the bigger story here. The hardware has been getting better and better in the RISC-V SBC space. The challenge has always been software ecosystem maturity. When you get a well-supported distribution like Armbian landing on a new board, it dramatically lowers the barrier to entry. Developers can just flash a card and start coding. That matters enormously for adoption.
From a computer architecture perspective, the K1 is interesting because it's targeting that middle ground between the low-power embedded world and the high-performance application processor space. It's the kind of chip that could find its way into edge AI inference workloads, lightweight server applications, or even just as a development platform for people building RISC-V software stacks. The vector extension support is key there. RVV is becoming a real differentiator for RISC-V chips that want to play in the AI and signal processing space. Here at Condor Computing, through our partnership with Andes Technology, we work a lot with application class RISC-V cores, and I can tell you the ecosystem momentum is real. Every time a board like this lands with solid Linux support, it pulls more developers into the RISC-V world, which feeds back into better tool chains, better libraries, and ultimately better silicon. It's a virtuous cycle. Check the show notes for links to the full Linux Gizmos coverage on the MusePi Pro.
Okay, next up, I want you to take a breath before I tell you this one because it is absolutely unhinged in the best possible way.
A modder, a hobbyist working at home, has built an 8,192-core GPU out of RISC-V microcontrollers. 8,000 cores at home, the thing draws over 2,000 watts of power. And I love this detail. It requires a 3D printer to program it. Let me say that again. You need a 3D printer to program this graphics card. I cannot make this up. So here's what's actually going on. The creator, and full credit, this is a genuinely brilliant piece of engineering madness, took a massive array of RP2A4 class or similar RISC-V microcontrollers and wired them together to act as a massively parallel graphics processor. Each individual core is doing a small piece of the rendering workload, and together they behave like a GPU. The 3D printer connection comes from using a custom mechanical mechanism to interface with the board array. Essentially, the printer's motion system acts as a kind of physical programmer or interconnect tool for managing the massive number of chips. It is completely insane, and I'm here for every bit of it. Now let's talk about why this is actually architecturally interesting beyond just being a wild hack.
GPUs are fundamentally about massive parallelism. You take a big problem, slice it into thousands of tiny independent workloads, and throw a core at each one. Modern commercial GPUs do this with a unified architecture and incredibly tight memory interconnects. This build does it the hard way with discrete microcontrollers that each have their own local memory and processing resources connected in a much looser fabric. The efficiency is obviously terrible. 2,000 watts to do what a $200 graphics card does in 75 watts. But that's not the point. The point is that this person has essentially built a physical demonstration of the parallel computing model from first principles using RISC-V silicon as the building blocks. And RISC-V is perfect for this kind of thing because the cores are small, the ISA is clean, and there's a ton of cheap silicon available in the microcontroller space. What I find most interesting from an architecture standpoint is the interconnect problem. Getting 8,000 cores to cooperate on a rendering task is a hard coordination problem.
Modern GPUs solve this with on-die networks, shared caches, and memory controllers that are tightly integrated. Doing it with discrete chips means you're fighting latency and bandwidth at every step. The fact that this thing produces any coherent graphics output at all is remarkable. This is the kind of project that reminds me why I love the RISC-V community. It's open, it's creative, and people are using it to explore ideas that would be completely impractical with a proprietary ISA. You can't just buy 1,000 ARM microcontrollers and build a custom GPU research platform without dealing with a mountain of licensing complexity. With RISC-V, the barrier is just your imagination and your electricity bill. Check the show notes for the Tom's Hardware write-up. There are pictures, and you need to see them. Now we're getting into territory that is extremely close to my heart. An AI agent, a fully autonomous software system, has designed a RISC-V CPU and taken it all the way to tape out. 1.5 gigahertz from prompt to silicon. Let me just let that land for a second. Someone typed something like, build me a RISC-V processor, and at the end of the process, there was a physical chip. The story comes from Adafruit's coverage, and it's pointing to work where a large language model-based AI agent was given the task of designing a processor and was connected to the full EDA toolchain, the electronic design automation software that handles synthesis, place and route, timing analysis, all of it. The agent iterated on the design, ran simulations, fixed errors, optimized for timing, and ultimately produced a layout that could be sent to a fab. Now, 1.5 gigahertz is not going to win any speed records. For context, the cores we work with at Condor Computing through Andy's technology run significantly faster than that in modern process nodes. But that is genuinely not the point. The point is that an autonomous system navigated the entire incredibly complex pipeline from RTL description to tape-out ready GDSI without a human holding its hand through every step. Think about what that pipeline actually involves. You start with a hardware description language, Verilog or VHDL or increasingly Chisel, and you have to write RTL that correctly implements your ISA. Then you synthesize that RTL into a gate-level netlist. Then you do place and route to physically arrange those gates on the chip. Then you run static timing analysis to make sure every signal arrives where it needs to be within the clock period. Then you do design rule checking and layout versus schematic verification. Each of these steps can surface thousands of errors that need to be diagnosed and fixed. The fact that an AI agent can navigate all of that is genuinely remarkable. The RISC-V ISA is a really interesting choice for this kind of experiment, and I don't think it's a coincidence, because RISC-V is an open, well-documented, clean ISA. There's a ton of training data available, open source implementations, academic papers, reference designs. An AI system trying to learn how to build a processor has a much richer corpus to draw from with RISC-V than it would with a proprietary ISA. What are the implications for the industry?
I think we're looking at the early stages of AI-assisted chip design becoming genuinely transformative, not replacing chip architects, not even close. The judgment calls in architecture are incredibly nuanced, but dramatically accelerating the iteration cycle. Imagine being able to explore 10 times as many microarchitectural design points in the same time budget, because an AI agent can spin up implementations and characterize them automatically. That is a real competitive advantage. Check the show notes for the Adafruit link and dig into the details. This one is worth your time. All right, let's pivot to something that every single person in the RISC-V ecosystem needs to pay attention to. Security researchers have published findings showing that current RISC-V CPU implementations are coming up short on security. This is covered by Foronics, and it's pointing to academic research that did a systematic analysis of how well real RISC-V processors implement the security features that the spec defines, and the results are not great. So what's the problem?
The RISC-V specification defines a number of security-relevant features, things like physical memory protection, which is the PMP system, privilege mode isolation, which controls what code running at different privilege levels can and cannot access, and various mechanisms to prevent side-channel attacks. The spec defines these features clearly. The question the researchers asked is, do real implementations actually implement them correctly and completely? And the answer, based on their analysis of multiple commercially available RISC-V processors, is often no. They found issues ranging from incomplete implementation of protection mechanisms to cases where the hardware doesn't properly enforce the isolation guarantees that software is relying on. Some of these are spec ambiguities that led to different interpretations by different implementers. Some of them are just bugs, and some of them are cases where the feature exists but has subtle timing or side channel vulnerabilities. Let me put this in concrete terms. Imagine you're running an operating system on a RISC-V chip. The OS is running in supervisor mode. Your applications are running in user mode.
The whole security model depends on the hardware enforcing the boundary Between those privilege levels, your application code should not be able to read or write the OS's memory. Full stop, if the hardware implementation has bugs in how it enforces that boundary, your whole security model is compromised regardless of how well you wrote your software. This is something we think about very carefully at Condor Computing. When you're building processor IP on top of Andes Technologies cores, the security properties of the implementation are not optional features. They are fundamental correctness requirements. The RISC-V security architecture is actually quite well designed. The PMP system is flexible and powerful. The privilege level model is clean. But like any specification, the quality of the end product depends on the rigor of the implementation and the verification process. What should the community take from this? A few things. First, if you're shipping a RISC-V-based product that has any security requirements, and these days, what doesn't, you need to do your own security evaluation.
Don't assume that because something is RISC-V compliant, it has the security properties you need. Second, this is a call to action for the RISC-V International Organization to tighten up the specification language in areas where ambiguity is leading to inconsistent implementations. And third, this is an argument for robust open source security test suites for RISC-V, something analogous to what exists in the x86 world. Check the show notes for the Phoronix coverage and the underlying research paper. And our final story today is a bit of a trend piece, but it's one that reflects something I've been watching very closely. EDN Engineering Design News has a piece up asking what's next for RISC-V processors, and their answer is AI. The next frontier for RISC-V is becoming the backbone of AI inference and training silicon. This isn't exactly a surprise if you've been watching the space, but EDN does a nice job of laying out why RISC-V is particularly well positioned for the AI compute market. The core argument is flexibility. When you're building AI silicon, you're not just building a general purpose processor.
You're building a system that might have tensor cores or systolic arrays or sparse matrix units or some combination of all of those, all working in concert. You need a control processor that can orchestrate those accelerator units, handle the I/O, manage memory, and run your software stack. For that control processor role, RISC-V is increasingly the answer. Why? Because you can take a RISC-V core and extend it with custom instructions that are specific to your AI workload. Need a custom instruction that loads a block of weights and kicks off a matrix, multiply in your accelerator. You can add that to your RISC-V core without asking anyone's permission and without paying a royalty on the custom extensions. That kind of flexibility is just not available with ARM or x86. The RISC-V vector extension, RVB, is also getting a lot of attention in this context. Vector processing is fundamental to neural network inference. You're doing the same operation on huge arrays of numbers over and over.
RVB gives you a clean, standardized way to express that in software, and chip designers can implement it with varying vector lengths depending on how much silicon they want to dedicate to it. It scales from a microcontroller doing tiny on-device inference all the way up to a server chip doing large model inference. The article also touches on the ecosystem angle, which is something I keep coming back to, the software stack for AI frameworks like TensorFlow and PyTorch, compilers like MLIR and TVM, runtime libraries, all of this is increasingly being ported to or optimized for RISC-V. Every time a major AI software framework adds solid RISC-V support, it makes RISC-V a more viable choice for the next AI chip design. And chip designers choosing RISC-V creates more demand for software support. Again, that virtuous cycle here at Condor Computing, this is exactly the space we're focused on. The Andes technology cores we build on top of have strong vector processing capabilities and are specifically designed for the kind of heterogeneous compute architectures that AI silicon demands.
If you're designing an AI chip and you need a high-performance RISC-V control processor or a vector-capable RISC-V core for inference acceleration, that's exactly what we do. Check the show notes for the EDN piece. It's a good read for anyone thinking about where the RISC-V market is heading. And that's a wrap on today's episode of Condor Currents. We covered a lot of ground from SpaceMIT's new SBC bringing RISC-V to more developers to an absolutely unhinged 8,000-core home-built GPU to AI agents taping out processors to the security work the community really needs to take seriously, and the big picture story of RISC-V moving into AI silicon. Every single one of those stories points to the same thing. RISC-V is not a niche academic ISA anymore. It is a serious platform for serious work, and the momentum is only accelerating. Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies' RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you found today's episode valuable, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, and share it with the architects and engineers in your life.
Tomorrow, we're back with more architecture research and more RISC-V innovation. So stay tuned. I'm Ty Garibay. Keep building.